Today I want to talk about overcoming birth. Most of us think in terms of birth as the end of being contained within another's physical body. We can think of a human being, we can think of kittens, we can think of puppies, we can think of all kinds of mammals, and that's essentially how we consider birth. While we're contained, we were growing, being nurtured and nourished, being fed energies of all sorts, and with all kinds of vibrational qualities. We're being healed or made whole in that development process. We're being protected, and to some extent, we're having our needs fulfilled, and we were surviving. Being contained in a womb of semi-darkness, muffled sounds, the predictable metronome of a mother's heartbeat, in a small cushioned space of the amniotic sac, trained us about life. One set of important complications prior to birth is the vibrations inputted to the baby as we're developing. Whatever the mother felt, the baby felt. Fear, anger, joy, happiness, elation, depression, hope, worry, confidence, or overwhelm, and more, were most likely poured into that baby's consciousness. It is now known that babies can be born depressed if depression was a dominant pattern of the mother during pregnancy. It's obvious to all of us that not all pregnancies are wanted pregnancies, and I will bet that at some point in every pregnancy, the pregnancy is unwanted because of the physical discomfort or pain or inconvenience. The idea that a pregnancy is unwanted actually has more to do with the perceived inability of the expectant parents to handle the social, physical, financial, emotional, and mental responsibilities of parenthood. The problem is not really about the baby, it's about the parents. But the baby doesn't know this. Birth might be considered a minor event, but it is not a minor event that's a prelude to important events that will follow in our lives. Birth is the event, and it is the event that may well shape everything that follows in our lives. In Western medicine, birth is largely seen as a set of physical activities from the contraction of muscles to the expansion of the woman's body parts to accommodate the movement of the physical baby, the breathing, the pushing process, and so on. Chemicals in the form of pharmaceuticals can be used to adjust or moderate the woman's body in the birthing process. What we have in this limited but traditional medical view is a physical body individuating from the mother's physical body, while other physical bodies control, direct, organize, dictate the process so as to maintain a business structure advantageous to some of those physical bodies. Nowhere does the idea of consciousness enter into this process of birthing a baby. No consideration is given to the fact that the child being born is processing the environmental signals during birth and long before that day. If we realized and respected that birth is the most profound life training and life shaping event for this baby, we may approach it differently, and there would be a lot less human suffering on the planet as a result of this new view of this process. It's easy and it's logical to think that a developing baby would perceive from the central point of themselves. Said differently, we feel as if we're the center of the universe. And that feeling isn't limited to babies being born, or newborns, or infants, or small children. Some people carry that feeling all through life. Humans exchange energy and then try to make sense of those energy exchanges. We make up rules based upon that event and our awareness of what just happened. One significant problem with this is that under stress or in pain, we are not fully functioning mentally or emotionally. So making life rules at those moments complicates our lives from that point on. And if we're making up these rules during the birth process, we can look forward to complications for 50, 60, 70, 120 years into the future. The inputs to us as developing fetuses before, during, and immediately after birth direct or misdirect us for years afterwards. For example, premature babies may have issues with time and energy, since both can be considered to be scarce in short supply. Having seen the energy acquisition habits of a physically small person who had been born prematurely, I interpret their grabby habit as a compensation for not getting enough energy to develop fully in the womb, and or because she was put into an isolated incubator immediately after birth. So instead of being touched and hugged and nursed and generally connecting with the mother, she was isolated and deprived of the human contact and the energy that would come through that. And the only thing that she got was what passed for medical care. I knew a man who had developed cancer due to the stress of his thinking and his lifestyle. He told me that he felt like time was his enemy. So I questioned him about that, and it turned out that he had been born prematurely at home before there was time for them to get to a hospital and before there was time for the doctor to get to them at home. In a battle between man and time, I can predict who's going to win, and it will not be the man. One day I got a call from a man suffering from multiple sclerosis. He had found my information on the internet, and he thought I could help him. He said he was really, really close to having a breakthrough, and he just was missing one little key, and he thought maybe I could help him. As he told me about himself, I interrupted him and said, "Whoa, you know you're describing your own birth process, right?" And he blurted out instantly, "I didn't push hard enough. I didn't push hard enough. And that has been the story of my life." He went on to tell me that he held himself back and didn't push himself to achieve. During childhood, playing games and sports, to his teenage years, in school, in college, in work, he restrained his natural energies to grow and extend because of an input about not pushing hard enough that was said or felt by somebody else. They never were addressing the baby, because babies don't push during birth. Mothers do. And I can make the case that his illness, multiple sclerosis, was a symptom of this belief. Every time we want to be, do, or have something we aren't being, doing, or having, we are basically being born again so we can grow into that being, doing, having. Every time we want to change state, we are initiating a birth process. And very importantly, the energy patterns that we associated with our original birth process will be active in these new, much later, experiences where we're birthing a new us because of these new activities. The main reason we want to heal birth issues is that it's unnecessarily difficult on us to operate within this field of energy patterns that are erroneous, outdated, and not really ours, and mostly fear-based. Going through life encumbered by energy patterns that should have been discarded or updated leads to a lot of struggle and a lot of unhappiness. You can imagine how difficult life can be if before doing any activity, we activated the energies that were present during our physical birth, and now we had to function using these energies as if they were relevant today. That's a problem. Our birth, the time before it, and the time after it, shapes our mental, emotional, and physical behaviors. If these behaviors are empowered and empowering, great. However, if these behaviors hold us back or even sabotage our efforts to be effective, that is not so great. I coined the phrase energy exchange experiences to describe the give-and-take energy processes that fill our lives with life force, events, value, fun, pain, disappointment, and many other labeled energy patterns. Greedy behavior and loving behavior are both examples of energy exchange experiences. Our survival instinct is designed to keep us alive by impelling us to take energy. Babies are capable of nursing when they come out of the womb. A higher impulse of this survival instinct is to want to be in a social situation that provides connection, security, and a respect for privacy. This higher impulse is maintained by loving behavior. Give and take. Give and take. These three simple words are filled with importance with regard to our health and happiness. Our effectiveness in giving will produce value for us and for others. It may also be directly related to our prosperity. Ask any farmer if planting seeds and giving care to them are important to his prosperity, and you'll have the answer. Our effectiveness at taking is essential to our survival, our success, our health, and our happiness. The key in both giving and taking is the feeling of effectiveness that we derive from our behaviors. People may think that give and take are about quantity and or quality. Actually, they are about vibrational frequencies that we acquire that produce our feelings. We don't really want the thing. We want the vibrations we have attached to the thing. In this case, we are in complete control of the energetic value we get from energy exchange experiences. We can look at our lives within the framework of give and take, or we can use the 12 worlds as a larger framework, and I think it's easy enough to see the balance or the imbalance in each of these worlds with regard to give and take. Every relationship has two-way flow of energy. Even when you're looking at a picture on your wall, you can love the picture with your attention, your respect, and your appreciation, and at the same time, you will be providing the vibrational frequencies of love to every cell of your body. Birth issues influence our behaviors. The medical language used to describe how the baby during birth is showing up is called presenting or presentation. A head-first presentation is usually ideal. A breech presentation is not. Neither is a feet-first presentation. How do we present ourselves today? When we enter a new situation or a location like a room or a meeting or a call, how do we present ourselves? And why do we present that way? Are we fully expecting to be welcomed warmly and loved? Is our presence happily expected by others? Or are we anticipating a lack of love and indifference or maybe even outright resistance or rejection? If we were wanted as babies, it would be far easier to have this energy pattern of being wanted wrapped around us, kind of like a clothing. Then the opposite would be true if we had already experienced being unwanted early in our lives, and now you could imagine entering a new situation is going to be a little bit more anxiety producing. Our ego necessary to protect us would seek to fight the perceived rejection or to avoid those activities or situations in which rejection could take place. What would our behaviors be if we didn't fear criticism, emotional, or physical attack? If we could cleanse our consciousness of the energy patterns that get activated into aggression or flight, both of them based on fear, we could behave very differently in our lives. There's no question that we interpret what other people say and think and do about us to be about us. But is that accurate? Is someone else's behavior an expression of us, or is it an expression of their own consciousness, the way they view themselves and life? We already know that a loving person expresses love and a hateful person expresses hate, regardless of the other person. So it's an internal expression of their own consciousness, rather than it being about us. When it comes down to it, I believe this. We wanted to be born. We wanted to be born. If we lived, our will to live was stronger and more purposeful than anyone else who resisted having a child. Ultimately, our relationship with the source of our lives is much more important than the relationship that exists between the container during that 9-month period and us. I'm not dismissing the importance of mothers and fathers, but compared to the source of our being, they're relatively minor in importance. We were in a container, and we were growing for 9 months. Lots of energies were added to our soil, not because of who or what we were, but because of the level of awareness of the containing mother and the seed-planting father. We are an expression of divine consciousness in a physical container of our own. And that physical container now has similarities to the physical containers that our mothers and fathers had. Our birth and the things we give birth to are divine expressions influenced by human consciousnesses, our human consciousness. The person we will become when we birth her or him tomorrow morning when we wake up is completely up to us. We can let go of those memories and impressions and images and consciousness forms that attended our first physical birth into this lifetime, and we can start all over. We can choose different patterns that will support us, nurture us, help us grow, help us heal, help us be protected and fulfill our needs. We can choose those. Birth is being done anew. Multiple times a day, I think, certainly on a daily basis. And we have tremendous power in that regard. I'd like to end this service with a prayer. This is the pluralized version of the prayer from Letter 8 in Christ Returns. Father, Mother Life, you are our life, our constant support, our health, our protection, our perfect fulfillment of every need, and our highest inspiration. How about if that could have been inputted to us as we were in the process of being born? We ask you to reveal the true reality of yourself to us. We know it is your will that we shall be fully illumined, that we may better receive awareness of your presence within and around us. We were never disconnected. We were never abandoned by this power. We believe and know that this is possible. We believe that you protect and maintain us within perfect love. We know that our eventual purpose is to express you. As we speak to you, we know that you are perfectly receptive of us, for you are universal loving intelligence, which has so marvelously designed this world and brought it into visible form. We know that as we ask you to speak to us, we are sending out a consciousness searchlight into your divine consciousness, and as we listen, you will be penetrating our human consciousness and coming ever closer to our increasingly receptive minds and hearts. We commit ourselves and our lives into your care. Thank you. It is so. Amen.